Welcome to finally another edition of Cheater and the Rude. This is a very, very special edition of Cheater and the Rude. This edition of Cheater and the Rude is coming to you live from an elliptical machine. That's right, everybody. I've been thinking about our country and how our country needs to get into shape. And I realize all politics is local, and what's more local than the fat around my belly? Well, I'm getting in shape while I'm whipping you into shape. And if you send me $4 billion, anyway, the point is, hi, everybody, welcome to the show. To Cheat on the Root, I am Jeff Kreisler, author of the book Get Rich Cheating. And joining us, as always, in absentia, is Lee Papa, the author of The Root Pundit's Guide to Something. You can check him out at rootpundit.blogspot. I don't know. He's on TV tonight, right after the show. He's on a John Fugelsang show on Current Television. Just show I've been on a few times myself. Anyway, I'm looking forward to you guys bearing witness to a heart attack. It won't be a massive coronary, just a small little thing. I mean, you know, people don't realize talking is a form of exercise. In that normally when I talk to people, I say something terrible and I have to run far and fast before I get stabbed. But enough of that. I want to address one really important thing up top, and then we'll go into some of the things that have happened in the last week or two and some important issues of the day. Who knows where we'll go. By the way, you should feel free to call in if you're listening. I don't remember what the number it is. I'm going to guess 888-478-88-something-something. But the point is, if you're on the web listening to us, which most of you are, that's prn.fm, the number's there. Call in and interrupt me. Give everyone a break from listening to my heavy breathing and heavy breathe on your own. And tell me what your favorite exercise is and what your superpowers are and ask me questions. Anyway. This is my important message for the people of Earth and our related planets. Please stop saying phrase, there are no words. You hear those things? Those are words. You just use them. You could say, I can't think of any good words, or you could just, nothing. It's a pet peeve. Making comments that end in sir, like, you're a lovely person, sir, or good job, sir, or excellent comeback, sir, or please remove your hand from my rectal cavity, sir. Just don't do that. And certainly don't say, there are no words, sir, because that'll force me to do some sort of Chris Christie, Rand Paul-esque tap dance. I got to say, I'm having a problem right now. I am starting to like Chris Christie. Not starting. I do like him. I mean, I don't like his party, and I think that he's done some stings for my state. I live in New Jersey. I won't tell you where because I know stalkers can probably hear the sound of exercise. I don't like some of the things he's done. You know, I don't like think he canceled. What's called the Ark Tunnel, adding another tunnel of entrance to Manhattan, which is sort of symbolic of our lack of investment in the future. I mean, pretty soon we're just going to have bridges collapsing everywhere and buildings falling down and trains exploding. I like to invest in the future. I kind of feel like that's what made America great in the first place. I don't like how he's treated teachers in the state, education. I don't like a lot of his approaches, but... and this is sort of ultimately what I think politics comes down to. I like his personality. Not what politics should come down to, but what politics does come down to. He doesn't mince words, especially if it's his own people. He doesn't sort of toe the party line. He seems like a more traditional Republican in the sense that he's a guy whose policy choices I might disagree with, but I guess I can understand what he's saying. I just don't think he's a lunatic. And lunatic doesn't even actually describe the far right, the Tea Party, what our Republican Party has become. It's a matter of sort of like a destructive win-at-all-costs mentality. It goes to the extreme, sort of an extreme negotiating position where you deny even the possibility of And compromise is too nice a word. But coexistence. You make it seem like coexistence is a death sentence. And then, of course, you get your minions that believe you. They don't see it as a negotiating position. And there's violence. And there's threatened violence. And there's a generation growing up behind you that doesn't understand that their role as leader should be to lead, not to isolate. Nonetheless, Chris Christie is more of a flashback, a throwback, if you will. Well, who knows who's going to throw him, am I right, people? To a more refreshing time. I mean, he kind of reminded me of Tip O'Neill, or at least the legend of Tip O'Neill that's in my mind. Sharp with a tongue, to the point. You know, he's having this little tiff with Rand Paul. Rand Paul is going on and on about the big spending, people that want Sandy relief. And Christie just said, you know what? Suck it. I mean, he pretty much said, suck it. Or more to the point, he pointed out what I find the unpointed out point. I love that phrase. That's going to be the name of my next album. The Unpointed Out Point. His story in too many parts. He pointed out, Christie did, now that New Jersey is what we call a donor state. I think we get 67 cents back for every dollar we send to D.C., whereas Kentucky and most of the deep red states are recipient states, getting back from the government more than they send, and yet they're the ones that stand on a crush of cut government spending, really just sort of as a way to attack Democrats. I mean, you'll see, now the Democrats have been in power for however long, it's all about spending, which of course didn't matter back when we had wars and Medicare loopholes or donut holes, whatever they were called. I get my donuts and my loops confused. And it's just refreshing to see Christie willing to point out the fallacy of an argument sort of for the sake of argument. And he's done other things. You know, he embraced Obama, after the hurricane, because, hey, he's the president. You know, everybody, he is the president. He called out some guys early in the press conference. I can't remember what they said. Something probably about the president being a Muslim or gay people being from Mars or, I don't know, red hair being the son of the devil. Something like that. And he said, you're just an idiot. Shut your pie hole. More pie for me. Anyway. I don't want to talk about. I'm dying. You guys hear that? I'm dying. If I do die, I bequeath this radio show to the first person to call in here at 888-488-7486. Fix that. I don't know where it is. PRN.FM on your website dial. Speaking of the Republicans in there, in transient, they have released thing called the Republican Playbook, which is their plan for the summer recess. Now you may say to yourself, summer recess? That implies that they're children in school or that they're taking a break from working. Well, one of those is true. They are children who get upset when they don't get their naps and their little sippy cups and their Nubile interns. Nubile is the new word, so you pronounce Nubile if you're from a Nubile clan. South Indonesia. But they're not taking a break from work. This Congress has passed fewer laws than anybody since Joe McNolaw was in charge of the anti-law offices of McNolaw. Don't rule and you're screwed. A law firm located in downtown Suckettville. All right, the point is they're not taking a break because they haven't done anything, but nonetheless, they're taking a break because they haven't done anything. And it's exhausting, all this filibustering that isn't actually filibustering and all these voting reveals along with that. So they have their playbook out, and their playbook is shocking. Don't let Obama do anything. Their playbook is keep blaming the Washington insiders. Keep blaming others. No new idea. A playbook. And it dawns on me as I'm reading about this playbook that I think it's an appropriate sort of metaphor. When I think of playbook, in sports. Particularly think of football. And they're going to take their break from their playbook just as football camps open and NFL teams are learning their playbook. And frankly, I think politics, the Republican Party, pretty serious. I think the word, especially in this, you tell I'm getting close to coronary situation. This would, by the way, if I actually did have a heart attack and die, would be the number one show all time on PRN. And it would run in a continuous loop with Gary Null telling you how to avoid heart attacks. Unfortunately, Gary's show will be very short. Just be like, don't do a radio show from elliptical. They have a point. I mean, I would. How about that? Anyway, the point is, playbook, football, both Republicans and football players like to use the N-word when they don't get their way. They have trouble with Florida, and they make Florida a terrible, terrible place. They fall back on religion, I guess. They're T-bowing. That's the point. Is, you know, they have a couple of set plays from the terrible teams. The Hail Harry Reid. This is really, I'm really stretching an arm. I'm going to go ahead and look at some of these parallels here because that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you. I'm here to realize that this playbook, the release of them, proves that the Republican Party is really to the New York Jets. They got Chris Christie, the big fat coach. Rand Paul. You might think he's the coach's son, but no, he's really the equipment manager's son. A lot of playing swamps instead of the New York Jets or Boeing Jets. To get inspirational speeches from Ronald Reagan, told the filibuster one for the Gipper. They think they're good at defense, but they're really not. And, of course, they have their new draft picks. They're new young players, or young Republicans, who just said that they need to stop doing things that let other people... No, they need to stop letting other people call them bigots. Not let's stop being bigots. Let's stop letting other people call us bigots. Again, I'd say putting lipstick on a pig, but I don't think that the Republican Party would let themselves use lipstick lest they be called women. Which, as we know, they don't consider human. So I guess putting lipstick on a pig is really just putting lipstick on the Republican Party and, you know, poor Farrell Bacon. Look, this all needs to work. And frankly, I've been thrown off because the Republicans, they got something done. The House passed the compromise student loan bill. Earlier this year, they had let student loans, the rates, double from, I guess, 3.4 to 6.8. And now they're resetting them, tying them to the interest rate that the government pays itself to borrow money. So they'll sort of be like the government borrowing money, which is great because you think about it. The Republicans do have a point. The Republicans do have a point. And that the government, not the best example of how to handle debt. So I'm pretty sure a BA in comparative lit isn't worth $17 trillion. But then again, I don't have that BA. Sort of seems like the next logical step is for government-backed student loans, you know, bundled up, sold as derivatives, creating a massive unsustainable bubble. On the plus side, this time when the bubble bursts, it won't be home values that crash, but our children, which is a delightful thought. To be fair, you know, the bubble in mortgages and the student loan debt is not all the fault of the government or greedy student loan companies. And now you've heard me talk about greedy student loan companies. There's actually a study that just came out saying the poor math skills were a contributor to the mortgage meltdown. And obviously, I mean, the mortgage is reserved for people who can't do math, whereas student loans are reserved for people who want to learn how to not do math. And you're welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time for a break here on Cheater and the Rude. Go to prn.fm, learn how you can call in, and we're going to take a 30-second break. Are we ready for that? Here we go. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cheater in the Root. I'm Jeff Chrysler. A little less hectic. I've gotten off the elliptical machine, and now I'm doing some sit-downs. A lot of people have heard about push-ups. I'm doing sit-downs. Where I sit in a chair that rocks, and I rock. I'm keeping my core tight. You know what they call it when you drink a milkshake after working out? I am keeping my core tight. God, I can really go for a milkshake. Right? Anybody else? I mean, it would be, milkshake would be top of the line right now. I'm going to save it, though. I'm going to save my milkshake for the future when this country is finally whipped into shape. I don't know about this. What do you think about this idea about Cheetah, about doing a radio show, Cheetah from an exercise machine? Lee and I, we always used to joke when we started the show that we really should just record ourselves on the drive into the studio. But now Jerry Seinfeld, actually, I think it's Seinfeld, has a podcast, a popular podcast, or maybe it's even a TV show, who knows, who can keep up, called In Cars with Comedians. That's basically that idea. And I'm not saying he stole my idea. He just obviously had the same idea. Much like, there's a mini controversy over an idea that's out there that I had, and I wrote a little bit about, but someone else wrote a little bit more and got on a bigger platform than someone else had written previously about, and claimed that the person that got on a bigger platform stole from them. And that was covering this recent riot in Huntington Beach. I'm killing myself here. Somewhere in Southern California, I believe it was behind the Orange Curtain, and it was a bunch of surfers riding, and sort of the idea, commentary out there, taking different levels of serious about, the violence inherent in white culture, how, these youth, obviously, with their tank tops and their board shorts, can't be trusted. I mean, what do you expect when you gather so many young white people in one place, and they're going to knock over porta potties. There's going to be violence. I mean, it's been proven time and time again at fraternity parties up in Ithaca. I believe there were some riots every year at at horse races in Kentucky and elsewhere. There always is drunkenness and sexual harassment and violence, and it's just sort of part of white culture. And I feel bad for white people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The point being, African American culture is scrutinized in a way that white culture can easily be scrutinized, because there are problems everywhere. Frankly, I blame young people. I think we should outlaw youth. Now that I'm no longer strictly a youth, I believe it should be outlawed, or given to me in some sort of lightning-based body-switching slapstick hilarious comedy experiment gone wrong situation. I think that would solve everything. That's besides the point. It was a mini controversy, if you will. And hey, look, it's not that hard an idea to make, especially when all of the articles, both the one that was claimed to have been stolen from and the other one, basically just parrot language that white people would use to criticize black people, or not even white people, because Don Lemon's out there too, that people use to criticize black culture, just parroting the language and switching the words. Yes, you might use the same language because you're all both stealing from another language. And stealing, I use in this case, say, satirizing. Yeah, it's satire. Now, when I'm working on elliptical or the Chairmaster, I may not be doing it, my words, my satire, as sharply as in other places and times, but I still believe that I know what satire is. And you should too, because, Cheater in the Root is followed by the Final Edition Radio Hour. And not only the Final Edition Radio Hour coming up at 8:30, I'm hilarious, and there's tons of archives out there, but we just put out our first album. You can check it out at thefinaledition.com. It's with a lot of amazing talent. Peter Sagal from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Tony Hender from Spinal Tap, John Fugelsang from Current Television, and Jeff Chrysler from Cheater and the Roots. Anyway, there's another story that I've been very fascinated with this week. It was on the cover of the New York Times. Which, as my friend Barry Weintraub, who has been on this show once in the past, pointed out, there's no better place to hide something from the American people than the cover of the New York Times. Goldman Sachs basically is running an aluminum cartel. They're moving their stuff between warehouses. They're skimming off the top. And Goldman Sachs has their fingers in every pie out there. They are the toddler of American economics. I kind of like that idea. The fingers in every pie. And they're the toddler. Because they poop all over you. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. They poop everywhere. You have to clean their diapers. And sometimes when you think they're done pooping, they poop some more. And then other toddlers get into their poop, and it's a smell. Look, I have a toddler. I think my point is clear. Anyway, so Goldman's got all this aluminum that they kind of whore pull back from the market. It reminds me of the oil cartels, which sort of makes sense. Goldman's been called the vampire squid, and squids create oil. There were other banks that were sort of caught or noted for having this cartel-like shenanigans. It was like J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley. I always get those confused because my favorite receiver growing up was Stanley Morgan on the Patriots. And those two banks, they said, okay, you know what? You're right. This is wrong. We'll stop it. But no. Not Goldman Sachs. They won't stop it. I mean, first of all, Goldman's mom always said to them, if everyone was acting ethically, does it mean you would too? You know, just because everyone else is not pushing someone off a cliff, does that mean that you shouldn't also not push? And their mom was very, had that type of voice. I'm not going to perpetuate every stereotype or perpetuate age. For when you're talking out of your ass and continuing the stereotypes of certain groups in perpetuity. Perpetuate H. Buy it now at thefinaledition.com. Now, look, I'm trying to figure out why Goldman was interested in all this aluminum, and I realize what they're doing is they want to be able to build a soda can large enough to fit Michael Bloomberg. Although, you know, Bloomberg's a short man, so that doesn't take that much. It reminds me of when Richard Pryor was skimming the half penny off of every paycheck of Lex Luthor's company in Superman 2. I actually don't know if it was Lex Luthor. I think it was Lex Luthor. Well, Superman 2 was the one where they built that melty thing in the cave. I don't remember. I remember it's Richard Pryor and the half penny, because I thought that was a great idea. And then somebody skied off of the top of a skyscraper, which I thought was a terrible idea. Just that, you know, Goldman gets into the boring stuff. That's the thing. It's like you just, like, you don't have to do the Silicon Valley kids trying to make their apps sell a billion. You know what? You don't have to do that. Just take a tiny percent off of everything. Like, you don't need more than like a hundredth of a percent off of every transaction out there, and you're in good shape. I mean, what's our economy? Several trillion dollars? Let's say our economy is $100. If you take a hundredth of 1% of that, it's like getting one of a penny. Point is, I'm not good at math. And if you were listening earlier, you know that means I should go study for a student loan. I like the idea of, like, the aluminum cartel now being so popular that bankers in London decide to rig the aluminum market. Do you guys remember the LIBOR scandal? Do you remember that from not too long ago? It's a big deal. Not everybody remembers things that I remember, and that's important because if you did, then what would we talk about? What will we talk about while I'm on the elliptical or on the Chairmaster? What will we talk about while Lee is driving somewhere and refusing to call in because, there's no phones in Scandinavia? You know what? There are phones in Scandinavia. And in Scandinavia, you don't seem Nordic at all. You seem like some sort of I don't know, dark creature from pits of Scandinavian Mordor. Skordor was actually the name of Scandinavian Mordor. And the little known fact about Skordor, that is also how you get into the champagne room at Skordor Strip Club here in Manhattan. You go through the Skordor, and in the back, a lot of blonde people. It's very cold. And you have to take off your ring. It's weird how it all comes full circle like that, but it makes sense. If you travel a lot, you would know what I was talking about. You have to, you know, submit your passport, get a stamp, go in the door, put a dike in a broken well. I don't know. I was trying to get to the dikes. It was a lot of, I have a lot, I'm a terrible person. I think is the point. And I would like to apologize to everyone out there, because apologies, that's what you do when you say something stupid, right? Rush, right? Receiver for the Eagles, right? Republican Party. I think that's the thing. I was trying to say, like, I'm not comfortable with how much I dislike Christie as a person. I think Christie would be a fun person to hide a beer in. And not have a beard, hide a beard. Like, it's just kind of like you lift up a flap and you hide up. He's fat. I'm not saying that makes him a bad person. In fact, I'm saying he's fat, period. I think he's a good person, period. Unrelated sentences. No conjunction between those sentences. Separate thoughts. And good for him. It's refreshing. It's very refreshing. On the other hand, I think I could make out with Louis Gohmert. And that wouldn't be a problem for anyone. Louis Gohmert's a terrible person. He's taking Michelle Bachmann. Says, I'm being very quiet when I'm sure it's already very difficult for you to hear me because all this exercise, I'm burning so many calories that the flames are flicking against the mouthpiece here. Listen, I think it's a good time as any to remind you that the Final Edition Radio Hour is up next, and the Final Edition has a new album out. It is awesome. It has been called A Return to Comedy. Let me read this correctly. A return to the type of humor this country has always needed. A return to a place where greatness exists. This album will make you rich. So that's a review, and I think that means you should go get it. All proceeds go to save the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Cheater and the Rude. I am Jeff Chrysler. Check me out at GetRichCheating.com or TheFinalEdition.com, occasionally on TV.com, or wherever you want. My host, who has been stricken by a terrible form of laryngitis that renders him unable to think, is Lee Papa. You can check him out at rudepundit.blogspot.com. Thank you all for your time. It's good to chat with you. We will have some coherent sentences soon. This is Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. It's in our blood, our DNA. And so we are.
Word is spreading
because we're stronger than the storm.
You bet we are.